Thank you so much, Pastor Roger. And we welcome you as we bring this series to an end called God on the Move. As we think about it, we are all on the move from morning to night. And our life is a series of activities, don't you think so? But we need to ask ourselves as we explore this series, what's the difference between our activities and our movements, and the difference with God's activities and God's movement? So activities could go from keeping ourselves alive, keeping ourselves healthy. So, first thing, what's the difference between our human activities and God's activities, between God's, our human goals and God's goal? And one simple thing is that we are active. So some of you could be getting in shape for Chinese New Year. How many of you are getting in shape for Chinese New Year? So that when your relatives come and visit you, or you go and visit them, they will say the thing you really want to hear. You look so good. You don't look a day older, right? You look so slim. Unknown to them, you have been eating so much. And so you eat, you suffer guilt, you sweat, and you press repeat button just to look good for the day. So we go to things that rejoice in life. Our whole nation now is in a period of grieving, and understandably, with the sad passing away of Aloysius. And the headline of Channel News Asia, Straits Times, the media, is this should not have happened. And this wasn't a headline, this was quote after quote of people who stood in line to pay their last respects, beginning with friends who knew him from the drama industry, the acting industry, to those who just came and could resonate. I watched one, a young man, and why did he stand in line to pay his last respects? Because he says, I'm serving in a very similar unit like him, and it could have happened to me, and it could happen to me. I just wanted to come and resonate that and encourage the family. Shock and grief, in some circles, anger. And so you and me might be on the move for things that keep us alive. And unthinkably, though you may not want it, you will have to be on the move and attend things to do with funerals, with deaths, and with funerals. And in between, friends, between life and death, life could become a series, life could be a series of either you are a perpetrator of sin or you are a victim of sin. And here's a story I just read of Devika Panika, who was repeatedly molested by who? And here is the global reality, and here is the local reality, that most molestations and sexual abuse is usually by a close relative or friend trusted by the father or mother. From the age of 7, that this person who lived with them, right, systematically molested her. Read her story on Channel News Asia. The official figures now being reported to authorities have jumped from the low 100 to last year 181. I say to you, pastorally, personally, and you might know more professionally as you're out there, or more personally in relationship with others, that is only but the tip of the iceberg. There are a whole nation of 5 million people, there are only 200 cases of molestation. Of course not. That is what is being reported. But what about the shame? What about the guilt? What about the pain? What about the trauma that goes unreported? So I say to you, we are all on the move for life and sometimes to attend to death and grief. And in between, you need to ask yourself, what are you on the move for? What next? Or what for? It's more important to ask, not what next, what for? For many of us living under Satan and sin in this world, we are all on the move to our next activity. So some of you already may be looking at your phone because you have an appointment made after this. What's your next activity? Some of us are on the move to our next goal in life. I've finished my master's. Do I do my PhD? I've risen to the top of my career. Where do I go now? I made $2 million last year. Can I make $4 million this year? Some of us are moving on to our next sin. The next sin of thought. The next sin on my phone. The next sin of my heart that nobody knows but you know of thought and word and deed. And some of you are going to be moving to the next funeral you attend of a loved one or family member. Ask yourself and ask myself, right? What's your next activity? What next? And ask, what for? Why am I moving to the next activity? Why am I moving on to the next goal? What's the purpose of just going to another funeral? Am I the victim of sin or am I the perpetrator of sin? I want to say to you, herein lies the huge difference. God has been on the move ever since creation. And you say, how has He been on the move? You know, the sun rises at a set time, at a set place. It's called the east. The sun sets at a set place called the west. The waters don't rush to the shore. So I just celebrated my anniversary, my 32nd anniversary, on Thursday. So what did I do? I went for a devotion, a quiet time at East Coast Park with my wife to rededicate our life to God and rededicate ourselves to each other. I just watched this, the waters at the shore. I said, never rushes above unless a tsunami comes. Who do you think keeps the whole world in place? It's so important. God is on the move. And the work of creating, the work of sustaining, but the most important work of God, He's on the move to save you and me. And His movement to save you and me all has hinges on one person called Jesus Christ. So look at that. Luke 24, verse 44. Allow me to read this for you. Then Jesus, after He rose from the dead, He said to the disciples there, "These are My words. Then I spoke to you while I was still with you, when He was still alive, before they killed Him on the cross. That everything written about Me," where? Everything written about Him in the entire Old Testament, the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms, must be fulfilled. God never speaks His word in a vacuum. God never speaks His word and writes His word meaninglessly. How many thousand words do you speak in a week? Don't tell me. Most of it is in a vacuum, accomplishes nothing. Comes from you, goes back to you, accomplishes nothing. Whatever God speaks is never in a vacuum and redundant or futile or useless. God's word must be fulfilled. And God's word tells us, between creation and Him returning again to judge the world, He's on the move to save you. Can you just write that down somewhere or note that in your mind or note that in your heart? That the most important thing that God is doing to you, for you, moment by moment, season by season, year by year, as 2019 unfolds, here this year, God is going to move more unambiguously in towards Chris to save him from Satan, to save him from himself, to save him from sin and from death. Do you believe that? You jolly well believe that. Because God is committed to doing that. And He sent His Son for this. So verse 45, He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that Christ should suffer." Suffer? Suffer? Then on the third day after He suffered, He rises from the dead. For what? He suffers not for anything He has done. He suffered for everything we have done. He suffers not for anything He has done, friends. He suffers for everything you have done and I have done against God. And once we do it against God, against others. And the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to where? Not just Israel, but to all nations, Westerners, Americans, Asians, Africans, North, South, East, West, Malay, Chinese, Indians. Everybody has an equal right to hear the gospel. And then God on the move through the Holy Spirit. After Jesus dies and is ascended into heaven to sit at God's right hand, He and the Father pour out the person of the Holy Spirit. For apart from the Holy Spirit, none of this will ever happen. None of what? None of what you just witnessed. I just told them. When you come forward for new member services, you have made the bestest decision of your life. The wisest decision of your life. Guess what? This wisest and best decision of your life, you thought, I thought, I'm making this. But in a passage like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ before the foundations of the earth. Say that one more time, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ even before He started rolling out creation. Yes, that means every move that you and I make towards God was because God was the first mover towards you. Left to yourself and myself, your proud self, my proud self, your sinful self, my sinful self, your addicted self, addicted to sin, and my addicted self, we would never make the first move to God. We are too proud to do that. In your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds, in your life, too proud to move towards God. And if you ever move towards God, you will never be good enough. You want to take note of that? If you ever move towards God by your own will, you will never be good enough. He will zap you dead. Because you and I are sinners. He's a holy God. You never approach Him with impunity. You never approach Him without somebody cancelling your sin. It's very, very important we get this right. And so God pours out His Spirit, and the Spirit will empower us to take this message from the headquarters of the gospel, Jerusalem, the province of Judea, and then Samaria, enemy territory, and then to the ends of the earth. So God has been on the move. And that's why today in 2019, I speak to you and you believe. And the last time we checked, 99.9999% of us here are not Jews. You have come to believe. The gospel has come to Singapore. The gospel has come to Asia. But in Acts 10, 34, Peter, he is beginning to understand this, but then he still cannot buy this. You know, one thing that Jews must never do, Jews will never visit you during Chinese New Year. Jews will never visit your house any day of the week, because as a Gentile, you and your household are unclean. Peter is a Jew. He will never go to the house of a Gentile. So what did God do to him? In other words, he suffered spiritual prejudice. It was given by God. Keep yourself from them. They are unclean. You have become clean not because you are a better race. It's not racism. But because God has chosen you and you have the law, you have the priest to keep making you holy temporarily. So God had to zap him with a vision 3 times. And the vision is a dream for Chinese. Get up, kill, and eat. Get up, kill, and eat. If we Chinese have that dream, say, hang on. For the Jew, he has that dream, is a nightmare. Because what he is supposed to get up, kill, and eat are unclean animals. And God gives him that vision repeatedly to break down his Jewish pride and prejudice. Then he sends Peter off to Cornelius' household. And he's supposed to share with Cornelius the good news. That Cornelius, I want to share with you, that in our Jewish history, finally, there's a person who came from a small town. His name is Jesus. We killed him. He died. Then he rose from the dead. He is now your Lord. That was the message he sent to him. And so see, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. God never intended to just choose one nation because they were better. They were not better. They were the first to receive God's mercy. They were not better than others. So the priority of the Jews will end up with the finality of the Gentiles. But he accepts from every nation, the word is all nations, the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel. What's the message? Announcing the good news of what? Good news of peace. Good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is now Lord of all. No, he's not just Lord of Nazareth. He's not a local deity. He's not the God that you find as you look at our hawkers all around Southeast Asia, and most of our hawkers or food stores or restaurants will have an altar there with an idol there. We call that a local deity. Jesus is Lord of all. The entire universe is given to him. He's also Lord of your life and every moment of your life. Acts 10 verse 37. You know what happened throughout the province of Asia, province of Judea, beginning where? In Galilee, small backwater called Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. So John baptized Jesus, and how Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit, not with water, and with power. How he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. So I do not know what you think of the devil. But look at this verse, and I bold it for you. Whatever you do not know about Jesus' mission sent by God, Jesus on the move for God, 2,000 years ago he came, and he came to set people free from Satan, from the power of the devil, which means that sin, disease, decay, and finally death, that all of us are going to face sin, disease, decay, and finally death, you strike four digits, right, is the experience you and I have because Satan lied to you and misled you and me. And it takes God on the move through His love to set you free from the power of the evil one. So in summary, before we look at the application in church history, God has been on the move to fulfill His saving purpose, not simply to make you rich, not simply to help you pass exams, not simply to give you spouses to marry, not simply to bless you with children, not simply to give you enough for retirement. All those are passing movements and passing needs. But your greatest need, as I started our time, is your need for God. To be made right with God because we are wrong on the wrong side of Him. And so He sends His Son as suffering Christ, forgives us of sins, reverses our death, so that we don't glorify self, so that we glorify God. Amen? The indispensables of God's mission, God on the move, God's mission, is the centrality of Jesus. Never be ashamed of Jesus. You take Jesus out, or you dilute Jesus, you got no good news. You got mutated news. You got corrupted news. Is Jesus setting you free from the devil, Jesus forgiving you of sin, and Jesus reversing your death? Is the necessity of the Holy Spirit, I, Christian, have zero chance. Tonight, today, I do not know what Satan's going to tempt me with. Do you know? I can see it on your faces. It's going to be Chinese New Year goodies. And when he tempts you with Chinese New Year goodies, I just lighten it. What power do you have against temptation? Zero power. So one of my more neutral weaknesses is I've got a weakness for pineapple tarts. You give me a jar of pineapple tarts, and if I sit there by myself, I can go through 3-4 rows at one go. If nobody stops me, I will finish the whole jar. I'm not kidding you. That's me. My wife knows it. My children know it. So every year, people keep giving me. Do I look slightly oversweet? That's a small version. How am I going to say no to that? That's not a moral sin. But let's say the temptation comes of anger, of pride, of pornography. What power do you have? You have zero. Is the necessity of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that makes you say no to Satan and say get lost to him as you mention Jesus' name and claim Jesus' work and say, I will crucify my flesh. I will not look at that. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to think that. I don't want to say that. I don't want to feel that. The necessity of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to begin the year without acknowledging him? Pleading that you experience him more. And then the growth of the church, you see it grow. And so 9 a.m. we spill over here, right? And it's 1/3 to half the whole filled now through simulcast. And that's why it's growing all around Singapore, here in ARPC at Bishan and ARPC at Adam. But you think Satan sits around and says, oh, it's so wonderful that God has a wonderful plan to give you Jesus and the church is growing. Hallelujah. He's going to counterattack and hit you badly. Whatever shape and form, he's got many schemes, is the plural in Ephesians 6. And so for us to finish God's unfinished mission, we have to be really mindful of the centrality of Jesus, the necessity of the Spirit, the growth of the church, and be mindful, not fearful of Satan, but prayerful against him. Pray and put on the full armor and say, you are a liar. You have no part in my life. Do you live life that way? So, on my anniversary on Thursday, what do you think we prayed as a couple? By God's grace, we've had 32 glorious years. Will God give me another 32 glorious years? I don't think so, lah. And I don't want to be around without teeth anyway. But I pray that whatever length of years he gives me, I'll be faithful to Mona and she'll be faithful to me. And we'll enjoy our love. You think I trust in myself to do this? No. No ounce of goodness within me apart from being saved and lorded over by Jesus. Amen? Hello. Good afternoon. And so we see the gospel spread from Asia Minor to the rest of the world. We now fast forward, it's almost 1800 years since Jesus came. And the gospel now is being carried by Western Europe, which is now has faced the Reformation, experienced the Reformation, right? And the missionaries are coming, right? And they're going to Africa and the rest of the world. And number one nation everybody's praying for is China. But there are two huge barriers of Chinese in the 1800s against Christianity. Very sad in history. Do you see Satan's hand in this? Maybe. That the British came, the English came, and forced China to open up her ports by dumping opium on China and making a quarter to a third of Chinese opium addicts because England, the empire of the time, wanted the tea of China. And China produces very good tea. You know that? Hello? You read history or not? And so the average Chinese person thought that the Westerner was a Christian. Not all Westerners were Christians. And they said, how can Christian men and women come and dump opium on us? Huge barrier to being converted. Huge stumbling block. Then came the Taiping Rebellion. Taiping Rebellion, this Chinese believer says he believed in Christ. Then somewhere along the line, he went and said he had a vision. And the vision, he said, he claimed himself to be the Son of God. We call that blasphemy and heresy. There is no Son of God apart from Jesus Christ. And then the followers who followed him, they led a rebellion against the Manchu Empire. The Manchu Emperor came down on them in the war that which 20 million Chinese died. And again, the one who started this war claimed himself to be Christian. And so there were huge prejudices in China, understandably so, against the very bad witness of so-called Western nations and Christian nations, which not every Englishman or not every Brit was a believer and follower of Jesus, let alone an exemplar of Jesus Christ. I want to be like Jesus. But God in His grace continued to work in the sincere missionaries who came. The missionaries of the 1800s persevered in laboring. And you saw poor China, poverty-stricken, famine, natural disasters, poor. And they built schools and hospitals. And slowly through their love, expressed in practical love, it broke down the prejudices of Chinese folk. And southern China was first evangelized, right? So by 1873, I think there were about 28, 30 Chinese pastors, lay workers, and by 1890, maybe about 50,000 Protestant Christians, about 450,000 Catholic Christians, because the Catholics came first before the Reformation. So we now fast forward that from that, what happens there spread all across Southeast Asia. And so a Presbyterian missionary called J.A.B. Cook came in 1881. He was, of course, saved by the Lord Jesus. For him to live is Christ, to die is gain, right? Consider your life nothing. Then he was so inspired by the life of David Livingstone, the missionary to Africa, who gave his life. He inspired lots of people. So as part of him going to southern China, to Swatow, he mastered Teochew in 9 months. Right? 9 months, mastered Teochew. Swatow is where my family came from, my parents came from. So a little bit of this. Our founding church, Prinsep Street, had an American pastor called Carl Blandford. And Blandford, I think, first went to China, then to Thailand, and his heart was set on evangelizing Teochews. So I never met him while he was in Prinsep Street because I didn't join Prinsep Street in the early days. But on one of his trips, which turned out, I think, to be his last trip, he came by and people said, you want him to come and speak to your mom? My mom wasn't a Christian at the time. So he came by, I think he was in his 80s, by which time he was all gray. And then he visited my mom and had a conversation with her. My mom is about 10, 20 years older than him. And in that conversation, he spoke flawless Teochew, my dialect. And my mom said to him in front of me, and then said to me and whoever else was there, you're bluffing me, right? Im si ang mo. He is not ang mo. Is it Teochew nang? Yeah, Teochew where? Piwa ko cheng. I mean, purer than my Teochew, right? Definitely purer than mine and purer than my mom's. When missionaries came, they learned the language. They become totally enculturated. And they come from very good universities around the world, like Yale and different places. They study linguistics. And when they learn the language, they master it so that the local person said, "Are you one of us?" You've just woken up, right? 3,000 Chinese converts, mission schools, hospitals, training school. So Reverend Cook, Orchard Road Presbyterian Church. He came and challenged the social ills, mainly of the Chinese. And Chinese social ills from then to now remain the same. Marina Bay Sands. Gambling. Still gambling. We're still number one gamblers of the world. Right? Opium, hopefully that's gone. But still there in different forms. Sexual immorality. We are not known for sexual purity. Just check Chinese history. Then the Anglicans. Reverend Fred Dara. This is all found in a book we recommend to you. Founded the Singapore School Society. And he, with a few of the early missionaries, founded this school and started to ask for donations from England. And because of this society, the money that was donated to them was used to start all the schools, RI, St. Margaret's School, Raffles Girls' School, SJI, Convent of Holy Infant Jesus, CHIJ, St. Andrew's School, and last but not least, of course, ACS. And so I mentioned a Presbyterian. To be fair, I mentioned an Anglican. So to be really fair, I must mention a Methodist. So just all ACS boys, hands up. ACS boys, hands up. Do you know him? You should know him. William Oldham. He preached 5 times a week in English and Tamil. So he learned Tamil. Good enough to preach in Tamil. How many of you, your Tamil is good enough? I know one phrase, Jere Apochi, which means zero. Right? And I use it quite often. That's all I know. He taught for 5 to 8 hours in ACS. He ran a boarding school with his wife. You know how hard it is to teach for 5 to 8 hours and then run a school or a hostel. And this contributed to the success of ACS. Which means the missionaries who came, believe in Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, addressed the social and social needs to meet the spiritual needs of the people. They lay bridges across. And so last week we handed out our handbook. For what purpose? Have you taken one? Why not? Have you taken one alone? Why only one? Why don't you take two? Why don't you take a few? Because next week is Chinese New Year. Then when your relatives come to your house, just lay them on the table there. Then they said, "This one, what? They said, my church. Right? Oh, this one, so many people, what? Oh, I went to church camp. Then from there, please come along. Don't just put out love letters and tarts and bak kwa, which make people sick. All this thing, too much diabetes. Put out things that will save people. Right? So please take note of that. Sophia Blackmore, hard work, humble willingness to visit the wards, paved the way for women's education, MGS, patience, persistent prayers, 3 P's for mission work. Prayers, persistence, perseverance. Exemplary to those who desire to God's work. So a handbook highlights, I said to you, Chinese New Year around the corner, if you are really in tune with Jesus, anything we do here as your church, you should be rightly proud of. There's wrong pride, there's right pride. Right pride is that we go all the way. We produce that lovely handbook with all the plans for children's church, for youth, for adults. We don't lay it out for nothing so that somewhere along the line, next week the series we're beginning is John 11 to 21. And in John 11 to 21, John 11, you can sign Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Has anybody died recently? Yes, the whole Singapore knows Aloysius Pang died. Do you have an answer to Aloysius Pang? It's called Jesus Christ. And so point them to our website. Point them to our handbook. Give it to them. People will read. I cannot count for you how many people first came to ARPC because they read our handbook or visited our website. So they first came to church, and finally coming to church, they come to Christ because somebody invited them. So a team of us went over the weekend to Cambodia, still there. Doing what? A partnership with a group there, helping the pastors and leaders grow godly marriages and grow godly families. Our staff, Chun, Charmaine and his wife, Pastor Jason, are there. A group just went to a neighboring nation to minister to refugees who have run away from their nation. And these refugees come from countries that you and me can never go to preach the gospel because they are antagonistic towards Christianity. But God has made it so that they are coming here to our neighboring nations, we can go there and share the gospel with them. So here the Chinese New Year moves. Will you be on the move for Jesus during Chinese New Year? Amen. Hello. And how many of you are absolutely sure that who you meet this Chinese New Year, you will meet again the next Chinese New Year around steamboat and tarts and love letters and bak kwa? How do you know that one of your loved ones is not going to pass away? How do you know? And you could be the only link, the only gospel link in your family, both nuclear and extended, the only link to your friends or your relatives that can share Christ with them. That's how you don't waste your days. And I don't waste my days. Because the death of Aloysius Pang has reminded you that disease and accidents and death is no respecter of age. It doesn't come and say, you have a few more days. It just comes. And this could be the last time you meet a loved one, a grandpa, a grandma, for that New Year's Eve dinner. And you could be the only one God is sending, like Peter to Cornelius, without pride or prejudice, without fear or favor, and say to grandma as you hold her hand in your broken Cantonese, in your broken Hakka, in your broken Teochew, and say to them, Jesus loves you, Papa. I don't know how to tell you other things, but I can tell you Jesus loves you. If you can say Jesus loves you, it's good enough. The Holy Spirit will take that word and drive it into Popo and Kong Kong's heart. You believe that? Hello. Good afternoon. We don't hear the gospel and say, oh, there's a wonderful sermon, but it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. So I won't be preaching next week because Chinese New Year. But after that, I'll come and check on you. And I don't want to see you fatter. I want to see and hear some testimonies. Yes, I left some handbooks around and my family took half of them. I pointed some people to our website. I invited people to the lunchtime talks. We launched this 2 weeks ago. Bang, the numbers are so big. Our members are unafraid to invite their friends. Where? Smack in the middle of the city. Look at the crowds. I'm so encouraged. Right? And this afternoon, one of our own members who is a doctor, a consultant, he's going to run a series for you that there's rising dementia in Singapore, second fastest nation of the world. And dementia in old people leads to depression in old people. And you know, suicides among old folks is on the rise. Do you ever read about anything happening to us? Or are you just walking around from one appetite to another appetite, from one sin to another sin, as your grandpa, grandma, father and mother sit in the loneliness of their room as you work 8 to 10 hours a day and think that they are okay mentally, emotionally? No, they are not. They are so lonely. They have no one to talk to them. And you are so busy. Doing what? I don't know. And then Faith in Mind, A Christian Perspective on Depression, goes on. And that's what we're on about, friends. That God is on the move. You believe this? And God is on the move to save you. And then after He saves you, He matures you, He uses you to reach others. When I started on this journey, the majority of my family of 12, 11 siblings, plus my parents, were not believers. I'm now 59 years. I've seen God convert a good number of them. The majority are now believers. Amen? What about you? And my task is not finished. I don't know how many days I have left. But I want to use every one of them and be part of God's movement to save people for His glory. Let's stand, pray, and sing, and commit our days to the God who is on the move. You are worthy. Worthy to be believed in. Worthy to be trusted. Worthy to be praised. And worthy of our lives. Thank you for showing us through this series, in different ways from the book of Acts, that most of the time when we are on the move, our activities and our goals amount to nothing. But we thank you that when you are on the move, you are motivated by love, a love for a humanity that has turned against you, a love for a person like me. What is man that you're mindful of him? A sinner like me, a sinner like you, that God is determined to give his Son and to pour out his Spirit to save. And we pray that in accepting that you're on the move, that you're on the move not just to save one nation, the Jews, whom you chose in priority, but you are moving to save all nations. We ask to be humbled before you, to receive that, and to be used by you. So we thank you for our new members and pray for their hearts as we pray for ours. And pray that this Chinese New Year season, when we have holidays and time and space to pray, to plead, that this year will not be wasted, that this year we will be on the move under you, for you. Pray, Father, for a spiritual harvest that you use us to rescue people from Satan's clutches, Satan's domain, that you use us to rescue people from themselves and to grant them true freedom in Christ and Christ alone. In his mighty name we pray to finish this unfinished task. In Jesus' name, amen.